I would play the video for you, but you're not really going to hear anything but kind of rushing waters. This is the only downfall to working in radio versus television is, man, if you haven't seen this video, it's extraordinary. It's gone viral, understandably so, after the historic flooding happened in parts of Connecticut Sunday. There's this incredible rescue where firefighters kind of extended a long ladder and they were able to get people out of an Oxford restaurant. And it's gone viral, understandably so, because it's just amazing footage that was captured and really gives you just a small snippet of what first responders and firefighters, for example, were dealing with when the rushing waters began Sunday afternoon. And we are still living in this aftermath and will be for quite some time in places like Oxford, Seymour, Monroe, Southbury, Newtown, Danbury, just to name a few. Joining us now is Jeremy Rodrigo. He is a volunteer firefighter in Beacon Falls. And it was Beacon Falls Fire Department, I guess, credited with that rescue. Jeremy joins us now for more. Hey, Jeremy, how are you?
I'm good. Good morning.
I'm so glad to have you here. I think this is one of those amazing stories of community coming together, but certainly first responders and what they were facing after Sunday's event. Could you talk a little bit more about this and what went into this rescue?
Yeah, sure. So Sunday afternoon, the town of Beacon Falls, we gathered all of our guys when we knew that something was happening, and you know, all the members of Beacon Hose Company, our fire department, got together. But fortunately, our town made it pretty well untouched, and just over the town line, into Oxford was a completely different story. You know, our brothers and sisters with the Oxford Fire Department were overwhelmed with the calls for service, and we had sent one of our ambulances over to Oxford to help them because there was a medical emergency going on and Oxford ambulances were all tied up. So we sent one of our ambulances over to Oxford. They ended up getting close to the place that had requested the ambulance, but the road was washed out in front of them. They couldn't get any further. And it was right around, they ended up stopping the ambulance right by the Brookside Inn. And they stopped there and they're waiting for further instructions or to see if the water would recede, to see if there's any way to get to their patient. The patient ended up being fine. That wasn't the issue. But concurrently, they noticed that the Brookside Inn was being overtaken by water and an apartment next door. And they radioed back and said, there's something going on here. We got to get these people out of here. So they called back to me at the station, and I consulted with Oxford Fire Chief Scott Pelletier and said, you know, you want us to go over there? And, he, you know, of course, they were going crazy busy. They were making rescues left and right.
Yeah.
With people with cars, and tragically, two people lost their lives in Oxford. And so we said, I said, let me go over there. So I ran over there with our Deputy Fire Marshal, Cal Brennan, and assessed the situation. And even as we were there, water was encroaching on us like in feet by the second.
And
we're
so
like,
scary.
It was unbelievable. And, so he says, listen, we can do this rescue. If we bring our ladder truck over right now, we have a 107-foot ladder. If we bring our ladder truck over right now and position it the right way, we could make this rescue. And there's a few things to consider is the ground that we're parking our ladder truck on still stable enough to put the outriggers down? Because if you don't have a stable ground, the ladder won't work. It'll tip over. You have these big kind of things that come out of the ladder truck. They call them outriggers, and they basically stabilize the truck. And if you can't put those down because the integrity of the ground is bad, you can't do it.
Wow.
So Cal came up with this plan. We're going to put the ladder truck here. And then he says, let's bring our swift water rescue truck over. So I called for the swift water rescue. That would have been way more dangerous and taken way more time, but we wanted to have a plan B.
Mm-hmm.
So we brought the ladder truck over. We were in contact with the people, the woman who lived in the apartment with her dog, which was the first rescue, by phone, and told her what to do, what to expect. We were in contact with Nicole at the Brookside Inn, who was keeping her patrons calm and saying, you know, if help is on the way. They were obviously very, very scared. it was a very scary situation. Because you got to remember, at the same time, there were large objects, including vehicles, hitting this building.
Right, right, exactly.
Floating,
I was going to say,
right.
Do you mind, like, even just kind of giving us a sense of what, you know, I would say the challenges were when you even got to the scene, as if, you know, we already can't picture in our minds just the rushing waters. But you're right. Like, there had to have been also barriers sort of unknowingly kind of going by you at the same time. That's, you know, like, the waters were so uncertain. You know, that's so scary.
Yeah, and the thing is, and you make a good point there, it's not only the waters are so uncertain because they're rushing so fast, but you don't know what's underneath.
Exactly.
You don't know if there's something underneath for you to step on or not, you know, because a lot of these roads were undermined. And there were large objects, dumpsters, like large dumpsters floating by, cars. And so if we had, you know, at one point when we made the rescue at Brookside Inn, that ladder was extended out, but it was pretty low to the ground level. If a large object had come by while that ladder was extended out and hit the ladder, it would have been game over.
That's crazy.
You know, so we had to be very cognizant and ready to raise that ladder, you know, at the last second. And sometimes that would have meant raising that ladder with people on it, you know, out of harm's way. So this was not a kind of a routine rescue. I've been in the fire service for 37 years. I've never done anything like that. So, so there was a lot of challenges there. But we got a hold of everybody in the buildings. We were able to make the first rescue pretty easily, move the ladder over to the other building, extended it out about 100 feet. We had about 7 feet to spare. So if that water had encroached farther down the road, where the road had been damaged or undermined, we would have been able to do it. We were just kind of at the end of our ladder length.
Wow.
So those things worked out. Somebody was looking out for us there. We got a couple of guys on the ladder, including Cal and a kid named Christian Hotchkiss and a couple of other of our guys, John Weed. And we got the ladder extended out to the restaurant, placed it down just outside of one of the doors, and we sent firefighters over to escort people back. We got to remember also that these people aren't accustomed to walking across a fire department ladder over a raging river.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
So that's scary.
Oh.
That's scary in itself. And so we had escorted them across. You know, there's photos of, you know, one of our guys, Adam Daniels, and just escorting people. And then we get them to the end of the ladder, and now they're on top of a fire truck. We've got to figure out how to get them down, especially there was some elderly people there.
Oh,
and they weren't dressed for this. There were some of whom were wearing dress clothes, you know. And at the end of the rescue, the last person to be brought over was a woman who required a walker to walk. So we had to figure out how to get.
Yeah, how'd you do that?
Yeah. So what we did was we used what's called a Stokes basket, which is a plastic basket, like stretcher.
Is that like what they use on a ski slope if somebody like breaks their ankle or something on a slope?
Okay.
Yeah. Yep, I've seen those.
It's similar to that. So we laid her down into that, made sure she was tied in and safe, and then basically pulled her across the rails of the truck, got her to safety, got her down to the ground, ended up putting her in an ambulance to do an evaluation to make sure she was okay. She was fine. And then she was the last person and it was over. It took about, I think all in all, it took about 20, 25 minutes to do the apartment and the 18 people in the restaurant.
Absolutely incredible story. We have Jeremy Rodrigo here, who is a volunteer firefighter for Beacon Falls Fire Department, but also I'm seeing here on the Beacon Falls Town website, you're the Emergency Management Director, Jeremy. I did not know that.
Well, small towns, you know, we all wear many hats.
Multiple hats, yeah. Well, I mean, that at least answers one of my questions, which is, holy moly, how in the world did you guys creatively come up with a way to safely get, you know, these people out, which was just, it's extraordinary. But I also wanted to highlight something that you said before, was that, you know, these were folks who were not prepared to be flooded out. They certainly did not go, you know, out to dinner or out on the town knowing that this is how their night was going to end. They didn't dress the part. They had never experienced this, probably any of them in their lives. How do you balance, you know, your job of being a first responder, but also, I'm going to say kind of like a therapist in those sorts of moments where there's, I mean, it doesn't happen very often that you have to respond to things like this. You said in the amount of years you've done this, you had never seen anything like this in your firefighting career.
Yeah, 37 years. So, I mean, we get accustomed to dealing with high stress situations and people who are in difficult circumstances, both physically and emotionally. So we tend to do very well under stressful situations. And I just have to hand it to the folks at, you know, Nicole, who was the bartender at the Brookside Inn. She was, you know, very, very upset, very, you know, nervous, scared for her life. But she didn't show it to her customers. And she said, I'm in contact with the people from the fire department. They're coming to get us. She did everything she could to keep them calm and safe. And those are some of the things that, you know, were important. And we were, you know, our team were in contact with her, reassuring her as well. But you're right. It these folks were not in any position to expect this. And I don't think anybody in Oxford was ready for this. I don't think people went out seeking danger. You know, they were just having their normal, you know, lives, carrying out their Sunday afternoon. And this happened.
Right.
And so completely caught off guard.
It's so crazy. And the other thing, too, that I hope we're keeping an eye on is after what happened Sunday and the first responders who, again, and you could certainly speak to this, you know, after doing this for 37 years, Jeremy, but there's really no thought, right? I mean, when you sign up to be a firefighter, especially a volunteer firefighter, there's no thought. You're going out to just save complete strangers. You want to serve the community. That's why people become volunteer firefighters a lot of the time. And the aftermath, though, to me is sort of mental, I would think. Like you brought up that we lost two people in Oxford. When I listened to Scott Pelletier during that press conference describe the two women who essentially were swept up in water, two different sort of situations, but tried to survive that. You know, firefighters were almost within arm's reach. I mean, the one that was holding onto the sign, and firefighters were using a type of a vehicle to try to get to them, but the waters were kind of blocking them. I mean, they witnessed it. In both circumstances, it was witnessed that people were just washed away. That has to take a toll, I would think, on firefighters and first responders. I mean, if you could talk about just the importance of also, you know, kind of checking in on your first responders after these types of events.
Yeah. So when I started my my journey in the fire and EMS service many years ago, there wasn't a lot of attention being paid to first responder mental health. There's a lot of attention being paid to first responder mental health now because you can't unsee a lot of things that you see in the course of this job. And whether you're paid to do this or you're a volunteer, it doesn't matter. And if you take a look at the guys from Oxford Fire Department, who are still, by the way, out there working today, they're like this morning. I heard them out on the air running around doing stuff. I saw them all yesterday. They were attempting to save lives. They went out to this this plaza where these two, you know, women were, a couple of places where these women were, and they saw them be washed away, and they were. Their own lives were in danger. Like one of the firefighters was actually kind of swept away and had to be rescued. Another guy was submerged and they had to rescue him from drowning. Like these are guys that are literally risking their lives and then seeing other people, innocent people die and float down the river. You know, you can't unsee that stuff. Mm-hmm. Tragic, you know, and you feel helpless and hopeless. And, you know, I can't even say enough about what the guys from Oxford, guys and girls from Oxford Fire Department have done over the last few days. You know, and we've all done things over our years of service, but, you know, just this incident here in Oxford, you know, we had our rescue, which turned out to be great and everyone loved it. But these guys are out there even still doing everything they can for their community, including, you know, watching their neighbors die, which is awful.
Yeah, it's
but,
true.
You know, mental health is really, really important. And we do keep an eye on our fellow first responders. We have services available for them. We have, you know, professional resources available for them. Because one of the problems that you have is if you subject people, human beings, to tragic and traumatic events over and over and over again, it takes a real toll on them mentally and physically. A lot of people leave the service. They can't do this anymore. They leave. They suffer from depression, alcoholism, divorce. I mean, there's an epidemic in the first responder community to some degree of these things because we have to do a better, you know, we're doing a good job of it, but we do have to do a better job of it, of keeping our first responders mentally safe and mentally healthy.
Well, I think, you know, I so appreciate your words, Jeremy, and that recognition, and I think highlighting that here on this show, and also just taking the time to describe again a video, understandably, that has gone viral, but even just giving us again an inside look into just a snippet of the rescues that have gone on in Connecticut in the past couple of days. And so I want to thank you for what you do and everybody at Beacon Falls and all of our first responders who, as you mentioned, have stepped up in the ultimate way since Sunday's event. Thank you for joining us on WACC. We salute you and we appreciate you.
Well, thank you for having me. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too.